Hey guys, and welcome to VS Sports. I'm your host, Bass.
I'm your other host, Sam.
And today we are joined by two special guests. You may have heard of them before, Lawrence and Jim.
Hello.
G'day.
In that order again. Lawrence
and Jim, respectively.
Remember last time, that podcast we did ages ago that
yes, you guys it certainly wasn't 20 minutes ago.
Oh, jeez. Ignore that man behind the curtain.
So yeah, today we're actually going to be talking about one sport, which is cricket.
That's working. That is massive. It's huge.
Cricket.
Is Lawrence's chance to redeem himself, since he chose to do beach cricket last time.
Now, hey, don't you tar me with that debacle. That was yours. I distinctly remember sitting in your bedroom before we did the podcast when it was just you and me and the moon. That's not true. And saying, why don't we just do cricket and have beach cricket as like a subsection? And you shot me down. Well, I'm back with a vengeance again.
The sequel.
Prove it.
If you keep putting up shit layups for that, no way is he going to slam them down, all right?
But this is the proof. I am the proof. I am the one who knocks. Knock, knock.
It's the United
States. Please, someone say something that isn't me.
All right, so we're going to be talking about like international cricket, domestic cricket, all forms of the game. Lawrence just gave a weird look to Jim for some reason.
Very excited.
We're a few beers in. That's not one of those.
I'm not drinking on the job.
No. The rule of the podcast is you have to drink on the job.
That's not me. I'm back with a vengeance.
Right, you're sobering up for this one.
You're focused.
Look, you can refer back to the beach cricket one if you want.
I don't really want to. I'll still push that out of my memory. But
I'm saying don't.
I remember
say
what
you can
we covered.
If you want, but don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very offbeat. I'll say that much.
Yes, and it was very short too. It was the shortest.
Because, I mean, is there really, like, an international beach cricket?
There was. It was.
Wow.
Do you remember the 4X Gold? And they had, like, old expat players.
Darren Lehman?
Not expats. Oh, both Fiend players. Like, your Freddie Flintoff.
They made a proper
Michael Vaughn.
They made a proper oval.
Wow.
And, you know, they had a special carpet, I think, like in the middle, so they could bowl
okay.
it properly on.
It was crap.
So you got some mileage. You got some mileage out of beach cricket. Okay.
Yeah, I thought it only went for one season, but apparently it went for like four or more.
Yeah, it
was
did.
Crazy.
Yeah, it went for a while.
And they had like
God,
Australia
so
versus
tradition.
South Africa and stuff like that.
Goodness
possibly.
Me.
I don't know. I might be lying.
No, I think they played international. It was international.
Yeah, it was like New Zealand for sure. I'm not sure about that.
England made the trip. They don't famously on the rock beaches. So.
I've been to Brighton Beach. It's there.
It's funny. Beach cricket is a big thing, lots of places, but beach cricket is pretty Australian, as far as
yeah.
Like, I think it might be pretty big in South Africa. I might be just talking off the top of my head.
I was going to say they definitely play like amateur cricket, but I don't know if beach
is
cricket.
That their national team.
They haven't played amateur cricket lately. They've been pretty good.
Actually, Mamala plays average.
Don't rate them. Never rated them. They're only way, way better than us.
It's one of the few sports that Australia is good internationally. Normally. Not at the moment.
Well, it's
going
to go through very defined
phases.
Yes. Most of them good, but
not
at the
all
moment.
Of them.
Yeah.
Well, I think we would have all grown up. I did definitely. With the 2005, that's when I really got into cricket. And at the end of that year...
Oh, that was the end of the dynasty, really, wasn't
yeah.
it? That
was it 05, 06 or 06, 07?
I think
the Ashes.
05-06 was the last great.
We lost in
just
05 in England, and then 05-06.
You know how I know that?
Creamed.
It's because there was an ad about the Mo, and it was like it was about like 4X gold or something, and they're like, and we got spanked in England in 05, and look at them, no Mo on them, and none of them had a moustache, and then Mitchell Johnson came back with the Mo.
Well, that was another one. That would have been 13-14.
Yeah, it was pretty recent, wasn't
Mitchell
it, when
Johnson
came
just,
back.
He took 34 wickets in 5 tests.
He bowls them left, he bowls them right.
Mitchell Johnson. Well, his bowling was not shy.
That's true. He came back with the Mo. And that was the difference for him, wasn't it?
Yeah. He just like got fired up, and then he got a few tats on his sleeve.
Yeah,
that was the thing. He was really fired up, and whenever he took a wicket, he let them know about it. And that's the fun part about the Ashes, which is
what
we got this summer. We'll segue into what we're
It's possible.
Well, we talk about the sport rules first.
Hold
your horses.
Slow down there, cowboy.
Possibly why we're
don't vengeance
so
too
well
hard.
Now. Sorry. Not heaps of passion.
Back. Heaps of passion.
But let's talk about sport now. We sort of went about the rules before.
Yeah, we kind of covered them in the beach.
There's lots of rules. Basically, you get like two teams and they go at it, and that's it.
It's like baseball, but there's like two bases and there's two batters out there at a time.
Less
boring. You know what I mean? That's kind of what it is. And you just keep scoring runs until you're out. That's what it is. All right.
Yeah.
Ten batsmen. That's an important
different run. Formats of the game are basically you get limited overs, which means bowlers have
basically
a limited
an inning
for
baseball fans.
Yeah, and they limit that. So say in baseball you have a 9-inning match or whatever. Imagine if it was 5 innings. You know, that's basically.
And there's none of this designated hitter stuff. You know, you're a bowler, if you're a pitcher, so to speak, in cricket, you're batting.
Yeah,
you're out there.
You have to.
You're having a hit, right?
Yeah.
Don't you worry about that.
And if you're not chipping in, you're shipping out.
Well, that's right.
Most of the bowlers obviously get little runs. A 17 would be a good knock for them.
Except for Jason Gillespie when he's bloody 201 not out.
There's this famous cult icon of cricket.
I've stolen your thunder.
And he's a bowler. Yeah. He bowls, you know, all right. Not many pies by any stretch of the margin, but he bowls all right. And he was put in as a night watchman against New Zealand.
Now, what's a night watchman?
Now, a night watchman is when it's the end of the day and you're in
bats. Matches are over 5 days.
Yeah, yeah. So you're back from about 10:30 to 5 p.m.?
Something like 6 p.m., I think, normally.
Depending on time, on sunlight, sorry. Mm. And yeah, basically this guy comes in and he's only meant to be a night watchman, which is basically to stay in until the morning.
That's right.
Because
you don't want to send your best batter out there, your best batsman.
For
then,
20 minutes.
Exactly, to have him, and then potentially to have him go out.
You know, and if a night watchman gets out, like sometimes they might just close up the game early if there's like two overs left in it, you know. Like, it's close off the day early, sorry. And this guy, he comes in. And he sees out the night, you know, he might have got a few runs. I can't remember exactly what happened. But then the next day, he just keeps hitting him.
He just keeps hitting him.
And, like, look, 100 is a great score for a batsman. Mm. Like, that's they celebrate like crazy. Mm. They just, you know, helmet off, kiss the bat, kiss the helmet, whatever that is all about. And then Jason Gillespie gets 206.
Double century.
Possibly not out.
The Don would have been proud.
Mate. It was incredible.
Shane Warne only ever managed his test cricket best was 99.
That's right. Never got the ton.
And I tell you what, that
600 wickets though. Not a bad knock.
about that score, 99, he tried to get a century by hitting it, smashing it, right?
So
he
Shane
Warne.
He
smashed it, went to Australia Fielder's hand, but it was a no ball. On they've looked back at it throughout time, and the front foot is over. They didn't call it, and there was no review system at that time.
Oh, Warnie was robbed.
He was robbed, but you know,
Shane Watson
pretty sure he's made up
safe because he will review literally.
Oh, he would.
Well, if he gets a spot on the team these days.
I've been calling Shane Watson is a crap batsman for decades, and no one listened until.
Is this
finally
bloke capable of even hitting a ton, Shane Watson? I think how many tons did he have in his career?
A ton of disappointment.
It was only 3 or something.
Well,
shocking.
Back with a vengeance. Coming at you.
But no, yeah, cricket's great to watch. I used to, as a kid, always watch it with my brother. And we watched this one game, which went for 5 days, against Sri Lanka, I'm going to say, or India. Who's Ishant Sharma play for?
India.
We're versing India. And it went to the 5th day. And we watched every single delivery, right? Wow. This is like from 10 till 6, single delivery. And we played backyard cricket once the tea break was on and the lunch break. And then Michael Clark, he was captain at the time. And Pup, that's it. They had the nicknames on the back for a while. And he was like, yeah, I'll give myself a bowl with like a few overs left. And in the last over, they needed 3 wickets to get. And he got three batsmen out in 4 balls.
Michael Clark did.
Get
out,
against
legend.
Is the best thing ever. Ishant Sharma couldn't be a night watchman. He got
Ishant
out.
Ishant Sharma.
He was no Jason Gillespie.
He was on the hat-trick, actually, Michael Clark. He got 2 out in a row. And then Ishant Sharma blocked one. And then he got out LB or something. It was ridiculous. We went crazy. It's great. Great memory.
The thing about Test cricket is that everyone that you meet will say, how do you watch Test cricket?
Mm.
Yeah.
So boring.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You, I am impressed by that.
I am impressed too.
No, but you
know, because the thing is, sorry. But
no, go ahead.
The thing is, you're not meant to watch Test cricket. You're meant, you're meant to have it on while that's you right. go about your week.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I do.
And then when the commentator's like, what? Then you look up and go, oh, what's going on? Yeah, nice. And then replay. Back to whatever you're doing.
But people who have an issue, because it's a big hurdle to jump over a five-day Test match. People it's are like, how can you do that? How can you watch a single match that lasts for 5 days? I liken it to a round of golf or something. You know, like a golf championship. You know what I mean? That's over 3 days, okay? Yeah. I will happily friggin' sit there and I will watch the Australian Masters or whatever for 3 days. I will do that. I will watch the Australian Open, the tennis. For how long is that? That's like 10 days or something. It's like 2 weeks. I will happily sit there and watch that. That's what you've got to think of a single Test match in cricket like.
One match. And you win the draw.
Because you will sit there and you'll watch a tennis tournament for 10 days. But that's what a cricket match is like. It's like it's a single match but sort of expounded over 5 days of ruthless competition. So that's kind of how you've got to think about it.
And I do like the reduced lengths they have now. Like, oh, fuck. 2020 and then they introduced what single day matches first.
50
over. Your World Series 50
over. 50 day.
But the
50
other,
day. Yeah, that was just
the other thing. Silly questions, and this is one that I hate getting, but also sort of love it in a weird sadistic way. Is when you're about a day and a half into a Test match, and someone goes, "Who's winning?"
Oh,
I don't know.
No, that's a telltale sign that no one's a cricket fan if they walk into the room and ask, "Who's winning?"
Yeah. Or, see, when you know what you're talking about, you come in and go, "How's it going?" And then you're like, "Yeah, all right." But it sounds like, "Who's winning?" Nope.
Because that's it. That is something interesting about cricket, is that it's never really clear for a lot of the time who is winning per se, because
it's clear who's on top.
Yeah, there's momentum swings, and you can always say who's on top and who's sort of playing the best at the moment. But it really is a game that is played over days, and it can be an entire day of the momentum swinging from one team to the other. Where on the second day you could think, oh, this team, they've piled on 500 runs in the first innings. Clearly, they're in the box seat. They're going to win. They're the best team. They're going to win this match. But then the next team will come out and they'll score 500 runs in their innings. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, shit, okay, it's back to even again. Like, it's one of those things that...
And then the tactics take, like, a huge toll, because you're like, okay, we can get 200 in a day and a half. You know, we could score 500 in the next 2 days. But we only have 3 days left.
Yep.
Do you want to play for a win or for a draw?
Exactly. And Australia, I think, usually plays for a win.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is a great thing, which I love. I hate it when people are just like, yeah, we'll block it out, get the point. You know? Because, you know, you go in and you're like, okay, should we declare now and say this is our 210 total and we'll give them enough of, like, a chance so they come out swinging, so hopefully they make mistakes.
And this is another beautiful thing about cricket, is that even if you... As a team, if you're down and out, if you're staring down the barrel of defeat, for example.
This beer is tasting worse and worse with each new drink.
Just I'm about five in and it tastes like water to me.
Aldi Rivet Lager is not without its charm.
Not without its charm.
Not a sponsor.
Thankfully, it's in a compact size, so they spare you some of the pain.
A very complex tasting
330 ml. But I will say, the beauty about cricket is that you're only a few wickets away from turning the tide.
Yeah.
At any friggin' moment, you could be staring down the barrel of defeat. You could be 100 runs down and you could be about to lose a Test match, but all you need to do is actually get a few wickets.
Yeah.
One wicket even to get a team out. Like, it's one of those incredible type of games. 5 days of play can come down to like a single afternoon where, imagine this, a team needs to score 10 runs to win, but they've only got one wicket in the hand. Mm. Imagine that scenario.
And half an hour to get
it. And half an hour to get it. They need to get that many runs, and the other team just needs to get one wicket. It comes down to a nice edge. So 5 days of play can still even be that sort of evenly placed.
And the cool thing about that is, the longer you go and the more wickets you lose, generally, the worse the batsman is.
That's
so,
right.
So if you
you're bringing out the bloody, win, you know, bring out the bloody bowlers, and you know,
if you got 10 runs to win, you've got this guy who pelts down a ball at 150 k's per hour.
That's right. But he can't swing a wheelbarrow.
Can't swing a bat. No. But he's facing 150 k's per hour, you know? And it's absolutely crazy. We used to... I'll save it for the...
it's an incredibly unique game in that way. That's what I'll say. Baseball's pretty similar in that there can be times where, even if you're 10 runs down in the final innings, technically you can still go out there and get 10 runs in a single... Mm. If you know, that is possible, but... Yeah. Test match, it seems to create these scenarios. The way the rules work, it creates these scenarios pretty often. Baseball's
a bit different because, like, you got... Even if you get out, right, and cricket's similar because if it's a test match, you get another chance later on, usually. No, you definitely do. And I had to fix that up. But baseball, you get, like, lots of chances.
Yep.
You get lots of chances to swing and hit the ball, whereas cricket, like, you take your time... And you have to be tactical about how you play.
You got
to
work into it. It,
or do you just get your eye in? That's the thing.
Smash I love it. Getting my eye in. That's all I'll say.
That's it. That's it.
People bash cricket though a lot, and it's completely unfair. People who bash cricket have never actually sat down and watched, even a 2020 game, which is probably the most exciting version of cricket,
And that's the whole thing, is that that's family fun.
Did you not see Andrew Simon shoulder charge a streaker?
I mean,
that is part of Australian folklore.
See, mate, that's true. Very funny as well.
Cricket is a great, great, great family sport. You know, mums love it because your kids don't get hurt, usually.
That's right.
There's been a few incidents.
Wow.
Let's not go down that path.
No.
Yeah. Oh, I wasn't. Yeah. But it's good fun, and you just there's heaps of like it's really Australian as well.
Mm,
even though it's like an English sport or an Indian sport, it's really Australian.
It's probably an English sport, and then wherever you look at the countries that are good at cricket is England, South Africa, India, and neighbouring countries like Sri Lanka and Pakistan and Bangladesh and Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah.
All English colonies, with the possible exception of South Africa.
Yeah.
No, South Africa is an English colony.
Thank you.
But yeah.
Of course they are. They're playing Commonwealth Games.
Yeah, I don't know what you... Anyway.
The Aurelagers.
Look, I just want to point out Rivet is not a sponsor. And if they want it, but if they want to sponsor us, they can kindly fuck off.
Well, you're going to miss out on the Rivet millions.
God, full flavored, they reckon. That's what they're saying on the can.
Full flavored.
I think that's a bit of a stretch.
Anyway, cricket. I was at a. I went to see a 2020 game against Australia versus England, and it was with a friend of mine and my dad, and my dad's English. So he was.
Oh, the battle lines are drawn.
He was all for the he was all for the English team. I'm like, nah, Dad, Aussie, oi, 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 matey, potato.
Mate, the sledging that you hear in the Pratt White family,
matey, potato. We're going to give you such a whomping.
And it was one of the most exciting sporting events I've ever watched live because it came down to the final. Final bowl.
Wow.
And England England had to hit a six to win.
No.
And if they
did we do the old underarm? The old...
they bowled the prop.
Hold up. We don't talk about that.
No.
That was a dark day in Australia's history, and we did not talk about that ever.
They bowled it properly, but England hit a four. So it was the stadium erupted. I was like, suck it, Dad. But, you know... Oh,
we gave you a whomping, all
right? Yeah, damn right we whomped
you. Potatoes.
Well, you were talking about a game recently, Lawrence, where someone did 30 runs to win off the last over.
This was the final of the 2020 World Cup.
Mm.
And it was England against the West Indies. And
sorry, when you said 2020, you mean 2020, not the year 2020, right? Because it took me like way too long to figure that out.
Yeah, he's come back from
this.
From
I was going to say, well, boys, let me tell you a story from a year not yet experienced. The year was 2020. No, it was the format of cricket 2020.
Yes, I gathered that.
In the year, which if you let me speak for a couple more seconds, I've got that. It was, I think, 2015, that has already passed, and therefore makes me not a time traveler.
No. I'm exceptionally disappointed.
Well, that doesn't mean I'm... Anyway, maybe I am.
So 30 runs off the last over, this is...
It could have been 24. It was a multiple of six.
But the West Indies, mate, hang on, who was batting?
The West Indies were batting,
and it was
their last over, and England had batted to a pretty decent total. And everyone was saying, yeah, look, It's within reach, but they need 30 runs. Can someone quickly Google this so I'm not telling the whole story?
We should be above this. We should be across this.
I'm really going to try and filibuster this one while I...
Google time.
Sam, say something. I'll come back to it.
Please stand by.
No, so we can tell you that cricket won on this day.
Cricket won.
He's obviously not bad back with vengeance. I can tell you that. Because at the moment, he's unprepared.
No.
Unprofessional.
No.
It's like he's been slogged for six and he just can't recover.
All right.
I tell you who used to get slogged for six. All right. Nathan Bracken.
Nathan Bracken.
One of the most overrated, nearly as overrated as Stuart McGill.
Oh, no, well, hang on. No. Stuart McGill, he had the task of having to play in the era of Shane Warne.
After Shane Warne as well. Like, he was the leg spinner after Shane
Warne. But he was actually a great bowler in his own right, but he couldn't crack it.
Testing wines, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, well. Plus, he's a New South Welshman, so we know.
All right.
We'll stand by Warney. But Nathan Bracken, he could chuck him down quickly. He had a pace on him. He was
part of the Speed Blitz Blues.
That's right. But
we'll get to later.
He was a little wayward.
Loris, you got your stats.
Oh, you've got some stats for us.
After my previous deep pantsing, it was in 2016. What am I talking about? 2016.
Turn it up.
And 2016. So still not a time traveler, and it was the final of the World Cup of the 2020 cricket, not year.
Year, the year 2020.
Yes.
Right, okay. Shut just
up.
Wanted to be clear.
Shut up.
All right, just
so it was the final when England batted first and they were playing against the West Indies. And on the last over, they needed 19 runs.
Oh, okay. The West Indies need 19.
So a good total for an over in 2020 cricket would be, what you'd say, 10,
12?
12, yeah, 10, yeah. 10 to 12. Good. That's a good knock. Yeah. 19 is pretty... If you're hitting 19 runs an over... That's incredible.
Possible, though. You can do that every now and then.
Mathematically, it is possible. Mm. But what happened after that was not possible. That was incredible.
It was the stuff of legend.
It certainly was.
It was so legendary, we couldn't even remember it. And it was only a year ago.
On par with the innings from Don Bradman himself.
That's right.
So it was bowled by Ben Stokes, who recently got into a
Stokesy.
A little fight outside the nightclub.
Let's talk about the news later on.
You know this is
and the
news
batsman
now, right?
Was Carlos Brathwaite.
Brathwaite, yes.
I've got Brathwaite.
Oh, yes.
Darryl.
Shut up. I'm doing the story now. I've got my facts. I'm doing it. And he hit a six off the first ball, and everyone's like, ooh, hello, here ooh. We go. So they need 13 runs from five balls. Ben Stokes gets to the end of his run. He's like, it's all right, got it in hand, no worries. Another six.
Oh.
They need seven from four balls, and all of a sudden it's on. And
knife's edge, this is what I'm saying. Knife's edge.
And I've seen the footage. Mm. This is for the World Cup.
Mm.
And the West Indies fans are like, here we go. And England fans are like, fucking keep it together, man. Not Ishnay on the oozing leg.
We don't have football anymore. We need something.
And so Ben Stokes rolls in, and seven off four is still quite a target. Bang. Hits another six. So all of a sudden, they need one run off three balls. And the West Indies, I think I've got my maths right there.
So they're tied at the moment.
So they're tied.
Oh,
so geez, it's, so they can't it lose. Is game on.
Right.
He's hit three straight sixes, and England are in disarray. Because you hit a six, it doesn't matter where you lay the field, bro. That's out of here. That's gone, man. Forget about it.
That's in row 11.
So Ben Stokes comes steaming in for his third delivery. Fourth delivery. He had three deliveries left.
Mm.
And so he's coming in. If they score one more run, it's done. He bowls it. Carlos Brathwaite, bang, hits a fourth straight six.
No.
It sounded impossible merely 3 minutes ago, but it's done. And Ben Stokes crouches on the pitch and has his head in his hands for a good 10 minutes. And the West Indies fans are loving it, as you would.
I love a comeback.
And I love seeing England lose. So
that's true.
And my dad is not a cricket fan, and he sent me a link to that and was like, have a look at this. And I was like, I bloody well will. And I did not bloody well regret it.
You know what?
I don't think I did that story justice, but it was really incredible footage. Good. Four straight sixes.
You know what's great is the rivalry between Australia and England with cricket. And unfortunately,
they even have a name for it.
The Ashes, right? Yeah, the Ashes.
That's right.
And no other sport, even though we have this rivalry, and you could easily replicate it with like rugby, rugby league, football, anything, nothing replicates
nothing
it.
Has the Ashes.
No, nothing
has an Ashes equivalent. Yeah. It's you know what I hate about the Ashes though. The first ever
choose
Ashes.
Choose your next words wisely.
The first ever Ashes was held in Sunbury. In Victoria.
Right.
And Sunbury is the most fucking boring place. I'm pretty sure it's the birthplace of the Ashes.
I thought it was at Lord's.
No, it was in Australia, I do believe. Yeah,
it was in Australia, and it was in Sunbury. At least that's what I'm told every fucking time I drive there.
That's true. Sorry, next time
with their
I
giant
come on
cricket.
Next
stumps.
Time I come on this show to talk about cricket, can I bring a fact checker with me?
I was going to say Richie Beno, and I thought, well, he can't do. Then I was going to say Tony Gregg, and I'm like, shit, I'm running out of friggin' commentators that are alive.
Different.
All I'm saying is
Ashes.
Clearly it wasn't beach cricket that was the problem.
No. So the Ashes.
I don't think it helped. I'll come back with a vengeance.
This was every time Australia and England play in international test matches, it commemorates the Ashes, right? Which was the first time that Australia and England ever played.
This one I know.
No, because that was just a rivalry.
This one I know. Please let me try and redeem myself.
Well, so, the first time.
Jim, I'm so sorry, but please. No, go. Okay, go.
Hey, the first time they ever played, which was presumably in Sunbury and this day, and it was like in 1850 something.
Something ages ago, yeah.
They play. Australia won, okay? They won that test match, okay? Mm. And what they did was I think it might have been a local newspaper. They took the wickets, the remaining wickets, and they burnt them into ashes, and they put them in a little urn.
It was the bales.
It was the bales specifically.
I'm back.
Yeah, you got me there. So they burnt the bales and declared it the death of English cricket. They declared it that,
is that what
Australia
they
has like yeah. they're basically they've killed English cricket, and Australia will now reign from now on. And so from now on, from that point onward, whenever Australian England played, they played for that little urn of ashes of the bales.
That's really cool. I knew about the urn and the ashes. I didn't realize it was the declaration of the death
of English cricket. That's right. They'd given up the dream of they'd invented this game, but they'd given up to the colonies. You know.
Are you fact-checking this, mate? Because I thought it was the first time Australia won at Lord's or the Oval.
I actually think it was the first time Australia beat England.
Mm.
Because the first time they played, England probably whipped us.
Probably.
Surely, right?
Let's do it. Yeah, well,
the
who's got more?
We've got the phones out now, ladies and gentlemen.
We need a
totally. That's
so I'm speaking directly to the ladies and gentlemen at home.
No, but cricket's always great. I've only been to a few matches.
You know, can I have a confession to make. I've never been to an official cricket match in my life. Ever.
Any like
domestic or international? Never.
Like professional.
Oh, you've been professional. Like, oh, I've never been to a professional.
Sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to just say right now that beach cricket was not the problem. No. And neither was I. Because the term of the Ashes originated in a satirical obituary published in the Sporting Times immediately after Australia's victory at the Oval.
1882.
Their first test win on English soil.
Oh.
And then they burned that. The first actual Ashes game was in Sunbury,
oh,
I believe.
Sunbury's clutching at straws there.
Right? Birthplace of the Ashes.
I just want to ask one simple question. Who's redeemed and who's backtracking right now?
Look, I'm just listening to the giant sign that when you drive into Sunbury.
Sunbury
I used to go past
very,
it a lot of
very
time.
Very grandiose.
Does Sunbury not have anything else?
They
can
have it on their sign.
When you go into Sunbury, it's not on their sign, but there are like giant wickets with like a little sign saying birthplace of the Ashes.
You know what? Sunbury can get fucked.
Right?
Yep. They should get a VFL.
They don't even have a real cinema in Sunbury.
they don't even have a real cinema, Lawrence.
There's like a Rivoli or something. It's not like a Village or a Hoyts, which are the
not
real
even
cinemas.
A Reading. Not even.
Actually, it's not even a Rivoli. It's like Sunbury cinema.
That's totally related to cricket. Thank you.
Anyway,
so,
I'm just saying Sunbury.
So, from the birth of the Ashes to Sunbury cinema, we've got it all here.
Oh, got it.
But Jim, I do recall I cut you off quite excitedly, well, and you were talking about your experience of going to the cricket.
I was just saying, I've never actually been to a professional cricket match.
Have you gone to local matches? Like your local...
Well, you know, you go down and you watch your Yarra Junction versus Warri Alec or, you know, some... Yeah.
What the hell's a Warri Alec?
And I tell you what, they...
Like the Retrovision Western Warriors.
Right. We'll get there. Not we'll even. We'll get there.
Not even. Yeah, I've never been like, you know, because I've been saying to you guys, I'd love to get to a Big Bash game.
Yeah, we should definitely go to a Big Bash game.
Well, I actually got myself down to the very first domestic 2020 match in Australia.
Mm.
And that was before the Big Bash. So that was the Tasmanian Tigers against the South Australian Redbacks. And I remember that Tasmania wiped the floor. Well, that might be a little bit strong. But
back then,
I think he got a gig in that game.
Yeah.
He
was Ponting?
Because Tasmania were very lucky to get him because he was all year was with Australia. So in a couple of games where he would play with Tasmania, it was very exciting. It's like Ricky Ponting's playing. Come on!
You can see the change in Australian attitudes with cricket with Ricky Ponting's career.
I saw him on Swanston Street the other week.
Oh, what?
Really?
That was exciting.
That's fantastic, actually.
Wow.
His gorilla arms.
I heard someone talking, and he was like, I heard many people talking on Swanston Street, but he was saying...
Normally to themselves.
He was saying, I was trying to get down back down to Tassie, but a bit busy. And I turned around, I was like, who's this Tasmanian? Ricky Ponting.
Wow. I saw Merv Hughes the other day.
No. I've met Merv Hughes, had my photo taken with him.
How is he as a person?
he probably couldn't remember me. he's a nice bloke. Well, proud Victorian.
I was in Essendon, and I think he's from there, apparently. Oh. So I was going to get coffee. I was a bit hungover. Anyway, I get my coffee, and I'm coming out, and I hear this guy, his familiar voice, and he's talking to two ladies. I'm like, who is this guy? I look over, Merv Hughes, Mo and all.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, mate. And I'm just staring at him at like the traffic light. The green man goes, and I'm meant to be walking. I'm just staring. I'm just like, damn, it's Merv Hughes. I should say something. And of course I don't. So then I just leave.
That Mo is captivating.
We've sort of tiptoed into personal experience territory.
Oh, we've got to do away with the little segment like jingles, I think.
Yeah, I think so in this one. The segment jingles are gone. This is a free-flowing conversation.
The
beer is setting in.
Well, I met Darren Buff Lehman. It's good, this one. It's good. My dad was not into cricket at all and still isn't. But my grandfather was. So whenever I wanted to go to the cricket, he got me into the cricket. So we used to play on his driveway. It was me versus him, and his driveway was quite steep.
Yeah.
And he always let me win. He just spoon catches to me. But then one time I was like, don't go easy on me. No, seriously, just for one ball, don't go easy on me. Spank me. Yeah. Not literally. Anyway. Down to a four-dayer, again, between Tasmania and South Australia. And this is before...
Grudge match.
This is before Darren Lehman was the Australian coach. Mm. And back when
South Australian, Darren
Lehman. Back when he was just the middle ground, like mid-order South Australian batsman.
Mm.
And they were warming up. And I said, oh, excuse me, Mr. Lehman, do you mind if I grab your autograph?
Mm.
And he said yes, and he called me a very polite young boy.
Oh, nice. Good on you.
And I've probably still got it to this day.
Good on, Boof.
Oh,
that exemplifies what he brings to the Australian team as a coach. Yeah.
Lovely man.
For the fellow.
Of all the cricketers I've met, he was the one that stands out as a very nice man.
He's a nice bloke.
Let's talk about the Australian team, because we're done away with the segments. So... Mm. And he said that, he brings that integrity to them. But the pay dispute, all right? So there's a huge, there's a huge story this year.
The interesting conversation.
Yeah. All right, okay, we won't go on with the details about it, but they're like...
I couldn't even tell you anything.
Australia, they weren't paying the players enough or something. Mm. And then they finally got resolved, and Australia ended up losing against India or some shit. Straight away, and they're still losing.
Hang on, didn't we get just thrashed by Bangladesh?
I thought it was, but I thought we were a bit more respectable than that.
We played two tests against Bangladesh, and we lost the first one. That was crisis point.
Oh my
God. Then we came back and won the second one, and then we played 5-1 days against India and lost the first four, I think. And I work with an Indian guy at work who was actually captain of Gujarat, which is a state in India.
captain of the state cricket.
Wait a minute, captain of what? Captain of one of their provinces, one of their states. Yeah, yeah. And he's working at Dan Murphy's.
Dan Murphy's in queue with me. He's a wonderful bloke. He's my manager sometimes.
Good on him.
If you're ever in queue, go down to Dan Murphy's and say Lawrence.
And Nirav as well.
Speak to the captain of
the Gujarat cricket team.
And we'll know if he's talking shit now.
Well, that's what he could be talking shit. I wouldn't know. I've only got...
That's impressive, though. I mean, considering there's like over a billion people in there.
Yeah, well, I forgot where I was going with that story.
But that's all right.
But he was the captain.
Because we can now talk about something else.
No, well... Yeah, anyway. He's a big cricket nut. And I said, you see, Australia lost to India, and he chuckled at me for a few minutes. That was where that story was going.
I saw a post by Cricket Australia the other day. And the only people who were commenting were Indian people talking about how bad Australia was.
And the thing is, we can't even defend ourselves.
No, exactly.
Because they're all spot on.
They were definitely accurate. And I was just like, we're not even criticising ourselves at this point. Like,
we're just accepting it.
Usually the fans will be like, oh, come on, pull your head in, blah, blah, blah. Like, we should have done this and that. No.
Ugly.
There's not even, like, one change that you can make. Like, maybe last year there was, like, the Mitch Marsh, Sean Marsh saga where you're like, why are the Marsh brothers even in the team? They're shit. Oh, not me. Just some people said that. And, but this year, it's just, like, everyone's not pulling their weight.
But this is an interesting... Sorry, continue.
I was just going to say, Sam Smith has been a brilliant captain.
Sam Smith did the theme for Spectre, the James Bond movie. Steve Smith is the cricket captain.
Oh, fuck, that's on the internet forever. Steve Smith has done a brilliant job and has pulled Australia out of so many fucking tight situations. But without him, now, everyone's like, oh, fuck, Australia has a problem. Obviously, get some good fucking cricketers.
Well... Yeah. I was myself in Mumbai not too long ago.
A man of the world,
did
Lawrence
Did you find
Wallage.
Yourself?
I
found yourself
so.
In some seedy situation.
But, well, here's some good stories. Is that the massive, in this shopping mall in Mumbai, massive poster of Steve Smith next to Virat Kohli for some clothing brand. And then I went to a different part of the country up north. And there is a restaurant named after Brett Lee.
Oh, Binger!
And a photo of him at the top. And everyone I spoke to, they were like, what country are you from? And I'd be like, Australia. And they'd be like, oh, Ricky Ponting. Sometimes they'd name cricketers I didn't even know. And I'd be like, yeah!
Jason Crazier.
That's fantastic.
Well, yeah. Wait, did I like Brett Lee because of his music? Or
I think it was his cricket.
Was he in some Bollywood films? I'm pretty sure
he had a short-lived Bollywood career post-cricket days.
Mate, post Weet-Bix days. That's
well, that's the thing. He switched and then he got weird.
Then he got weird. Yeah. No more 3 mobile.
But
no more.
We're talking about Aussie cricket talent, you know, on the international stage. This is something you would have known, Bass. Being a bit of a sporty as a young lad. You as a young man would have had to have made the choice between footy, whether that's rugby or Australian rules, and cricket, right?
No.
Is this not something that would have come to you?
Like, not at all, because it's like winter is rugby season.
Yeah, but in terms of like a career to choose, like a lot of young athletes, they play footy in the winter and they play cricket in the summer. Mm-hmm. And they get to a point where they're sort of like 15, 16 and they have to make a choice between...
Shane Warne did that.
Yeah, between what they're actually going to focus on. Like a lot of Australian rules footballers, a lot of really great like footballers... were really great cricketers. And they could have gone... Like Brett Delidio, for example, from Richmond. Apparently, he was a really great cricketer. And he could have been a national cricketer.
Similar with Leighton Hewitt. He was a great AFL player. They played the summer sport, which is tennis.
And I just wonder whether all our football codes in this country, because we've got quite a few now, whether they kind of poach a lot of the good sort of Aussie cricket talent. You know what I mean?
That's interesting.
Because it is more reliable to make to be a good footballer than it is to be a good cricketer. You know what I mean? Like, there's more money in football because there's more opportunity.
Well, Shane Warne used to play for St Kilda.
He did.
And they obviously he picked cricket over football. And someone once asked him, he's still a diehard St Kilda fan, and someone once asked him why he played cricket over playing for his beloved St Kilda, and he said he liked cheeseburgers too much.
Well, he played at an optimum weight, Shane Warne, for the majority of his career.
I think
it is getting a bit more competitive, so you do have to choose a bit earlier, especially in the male competition.
Because, like, the thing, if you want to be like a millionaire, or if you want to make a really great living out of playing one of either Australian rules football or cricket, you got a way better chance of making good money.
Because I'm not sure how the Australian rules pick their teams, but with cricket, they've got like competitions now that like you try out for a team in a special like New South Wales competition. It's like the best of the best sort of thing. And you go through academies and stuff like that. In AFL, you go through like team academies, maybe.
Yeah,
and then a draft.
But I mean, think about this: like if you're in the best 11, the Australian best 11 cricket team. You're earning over $1 million a year, right? Surely, sponsorship and player payments and that sort of stuff. Right. You can make that kind of money just being a journeyman in Australia, like over your career.
In Aussie rules.
Like you might not make $1 million a year, but it's a way safer bet to go that way.
Well, that actually...
You only have to be decently good at Australian rules
football
to make
that
kind of money.
Like, international cricket would put a bit of a strain on personal relationships because you have to travel, especially... Yeah. Your Boxing Day test, like it's in Australia, thankfully, but like I'm sure they have international competitions around the big days, so you'd have to be away from families and whatnot. Whereas Aussie rules, you're around your family.
If you go big and go home, though, because I mean, like you think about the Australian captain, like the captain of the Australian cricket team,
Steve Smith.
He is like, if you're the captain of the Australian cricket team, you are like second to the Prime Minister in terms of stature in the country.
Well, that actually leads me quite interestingly to my next point, which was that cricket. The Australian cricket team is selected in a very strange way compared to other sports because for the vast majority of sports, there is one coach of the team. He picks the team that starts the match. That's how it works.
But now there's
not,
a board.
Not in cricket.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how widespread this is, but I think it's... Yeah, there's a board of selectors.
The captain gets a little bit of a say, the coach gets a say.
The captain gets a bit of a say, the coach gets a say, and the rest of them are crusty old men who haven't played in the better part of 15 years.
Which is interesting because Rod Marsh is on the board, and he has two sons, Sean and Mitch, and they both play for Australia,
and
intimately.
They're both terrible.
And, well, look, this is the thing. Like, I reckon if they had a few more years in the Shoot Shield, which is a domestic competition, they would be a lot better. But because they got into the Australian team relatively early in their careers, they sort of, like, go in and out, and they're sort of, like, there, but they don't really deserve it all the time. Another thing I was going to say before is I made a distinction between male and female sports and how, like, male cricketers have to, like, identify as male cricketers when we're talking about, like, footy and whatnot. Elise Perry is
she's a champion.
She's a champ.
She's a champ.
And she plays
unbelievably talented athlete.
Right. She plays for the Women's Australian cricket team, and she also played for, I think it was Canberra, in the WA League. And I think she might have played a few games for the Willaroos.
She played for the
Australian
soccer team. But she had to choose. She chose cricket. She was on the national. Like she was an international player in both sports of soccer and cricket.
Which I think is called the female soccer team.
Matildas. Yes.
What
the Willaroos?
The Willaroos is what he said.
I honestly thought you were talking about some backwater cricket team.
I had no idea what you were talking about.
Interesting because Jim then said, "Didn't she also play for?" The national football.
Yes, I thought there was some other third sport that
she
was a master at.
Too. Who knows?
Fantastic athlete.
Yeah, brilliant, and a great ambassador as well. It just goes to show that like definitely in the male sort of like sports industry, you have to like choose and become like a single sports.
Yeah.
Person.
Because I just know, think about someone like, I hate to get back to Aussie rules, because that's another episode. There's a player that won in our team for our premiership this year, Jason Castagna. He's a rookie. He's probably on less than $100,000 a year as a player at the moment. But he's like the 40th best player on our team, in terms of like player wages. But if he had, like, but he's making that kind of money being that kind of player in AFL football,
and he won't be on that sort of money for long.
Yeah, but if he was playing, but if he was trying to get into cricket, he'd be a nobody. He'd be a journeyman. He'd be playing in the fourth division in Berwick, or so. You know what I mean? Yeah. And he would be making no money. So that's kind of why a lot of players are kind of moving away from
the
cricket.
The fact that you said that he's earning under 100K,
I know, because I know that sounds crazy, but that's actually chump change for AFL. Yeah. Like if you're learning, I think the rookies earn like $94,000 a year or something.
Yeah, and that's
is it too late to complete?
I know, but that's why so many cricketers, like great cricketers, when they're young, they just move to football because I can just make more money doing
I'm 21 years old, in horrible shape, and 5'9". If any clubs are looking for that sort of rookie...
excuse me, Carlton?
I can do a job for you. I can definitely do a job for you. It's not going to be a good job, but I can do something.
You'll come the same position as you are coming now, so...
I was going to say, honestly, it wouldn't make much of a difference to Carlton at the minute.
Anyway, you're going to love it.
Yeah,
I was just going to say the domestic cricket scene in Australia is a real laugh. It's a real it's a lot of fun.
I was going to cut in and say improving.
The team names are funny, but we've been talking about this throughout the week.
Are we talking about, because there's two sort of sets. There are like the Sydney Sixers and Thunder. Mm.
There's the limited overs stuff. There's your 2020.
Mm. Well, but there's your 2020 and then there's your longer forms, like your one dayers and your... test matches, but they're 4 days, not five. But
yeah, which is interesting. It's actually
a really, really prestigious competition. Because you were talking to me, to go back again to Australian rules, how you felt when Richmond won the flag. But it was the same when Tasmania finally won the Sheffield Shield, which is the 4 day competition. Obviously, not to the same level. We weren't all walking down the main road having some titties.
And embarrassing yourselves.
Well, if you want to talk about embarrassing, you know who we won against? New South Wales.
Oh, the Blues!
And the Blues were hot favourites, and we stormed home, and my mum said people would come into work, her work, the state library, and they would say, "We did it. We wiped the floor with New South Wales."
They said it very quietly.
And they'd be like, "We did it!" And mum would go, "Shh."
I thought you were going to say something cool, like a pub or something that your mum was working at.
But no, it was a very big deal, and it's a lot of pride in the state competition, not just in the Tassie Tigers.
You got some great players over the years, the Tassie. You punch above your weight.
Well, it's interesting because the state teams can have players not from that state. So, for example...
You just have to move to that state, don't you? You just have to live there currently and you can play for that state.
Well, Matthew Wade, who is the Australian wicketkeeper and famous for coining the term Nice Gary... He plays for Victoria, but he's Tasmanian.
No, I didn't know that. I didn't know he was native to Tasmania.
Well, actually...
And Tim Payne, the current Tasmanian wicketkeeper.
Yep.
Is he actually from Tasmania?
He's Tasmanian, we've had a few players like Ed Cowan.
Yep.
He's New South Wales, but he played for us.
Wow.
A lot of other
examples. Because a lot of these smaller... the bigger states... where guys can't crack a game. Like, if you're the second best wicketkeeper in your state, you cannot crack a game for your state.
Yeah.
And that's only one position. So a lot of these guys, they will just move to another state where they will be the best wicketkeeper.
Yeah.
So presumably that's what's happened with,
Michael Bevan is another good example.
Was he from Tassie?
I don't think so, but he played for Tasmania.
Wow.
Let's talk about this as well, because if you're playing for your state, you're not playing for your country. Because your country, they play, Cricket Australia plays basically in all seasons, because it's an international sport, obviously, it's summer everywhere. It's summer somewhere. And
summer everywhere, it's all the time.
Everywhere, all the time.
Dreamy.
But yeah, if you're playing for New South Wales, for example, Brad Haddon will be the Australian keeper, possibly. I haven't been keeping up recently. He's retired.
Brad Haddon had the very unenviable task of taking over from Adam Gilchrist.
Oh, man. But imagine playing for Western Australia while Adam Gilchrist is playing.
You'd have no hope. Warriors.
That's it. Because you could be the second best in the country, the best in Western Australia, and
never
going to
play, though.
It's really interesting because, Adam Gilchrist wouldn't really play that many games for Western Australia.
And that's interesting because... In different sports, they're separate. Like, you have association football or soccer is a good example. So, for Australia, you have Aaron Moy plays in England all year round. But when Australia go, okay, we've got a game on, England stops for a week. Mm. That happened last weekend. And he comes back to Australia and has his game, then goes back to England. And that's how it works. But for all year, so Ricky Ponting is famously Tasmanian. So all year, Tasmania played without Ricky Ponting and did do for the better part of a decade.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, well, we'd probably be a lot better if we had Ricky Ponting, right? But, and so then it was like, oh man, I wish we could see Ricky Ponting play. And then he'd play like one or two games when Australia were off or whatever. And everyone was really, really excited. But it doesn't happen very often. So the state teams are depleted of any international talent. Because they're all off playing for Australia.
It's just a feeder league, isn't it, really, for the national.
But the problem is that doesn't bring crowds to the game. Because it's like they're not the best.
And there's a massive, massive problem with attendance, especially in the Sheffield Shield. I went to one day of Victoria, New South Wales, at the MCG.
It was like you were at a North Melbourne game.
AFL. They opened one... Probably it was probably an eighth of one tier of the ground. They didn't have the... I went to buy a concession ticket, and I went to pay on my bank card, and they said they hadn't brought the FPOS machine out because they weren't expecting enough people to warrant it. And she pointed me to an ATM, and my ATM fee cost more than my ticket. So the tickets are $2, and there's no one coming because there's just... No one.
Oh, God.
Well, Matthew Hayden,
famous
cricketer for Australia, always would raise his bat and he'd kiss his bat and then point to the sky. But he didn't do it for Queensland. He did when he played for Australia, but not when he made a century, this is. And someone asked him, why didn't he do it when he played for Queensland? And he said, not even God watches domestic cricket.
Wow.
Wow.
It's true. Like, selectors are probably the only people watching domestic
cricket.
Even then, look at how long, for years,
you players like Usman Khawaja and before that Michael Hussey are banging down the door, just making runs for fun.
Brad Hodge, mate. Oh, yeah.
And they're just like,
Brad Hodge is a Victorian champ. Every time he got called up, he performed.
The one time I went to a game, it was Victoria versus Australia. I think it was one day.
So this is a personal issue you have with him.
Yeah, Brad Hodge. He got out for like three, you know?
No! Oh.
He got out for 13 or some shit, you know? It was a shit innings.
Yeah.
And he comes back, and Andrew McDonald runs out after him. He's a wrangler anyway. Brad Hodge comes back, and we're like, oh, yeah, good on you, mate. Like, you know, bagging him out because he's from Victoria. And he just fucking chucks his bat and acts like a sook.
Oh, like, Hodgie. Yeah, that's not Hodgie.
Now, I was playing cricket at the time. I was 12 years old or whatever. You know, I was playing the old club cricket. And
big boy. I only did the Milo Inter cricket.
under 14s was my jam. And there was like guys on my team who would like throw their bats. And you're just like, oh, come on, mate.
It's like throwing a racket in tennis. Because when I played tennis, people would, you know, they throw their racket straight at the ground. I'm like, come on, dude. I'm like, simmer down.
It was your fault.
And even when you're at the top level, you see on the same point, you see like Bernard Tomic will smash his racket and you're like,
oh, and Djokovic does it all the time.
And like, how old are you?
Yeah. And how much money are you making by even being defeated in this match? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Kyrgios, he's doing all right. You know what I mean? He's doing okay.
He's doing all right. Yeah. Nick Kyrgios I can forgive, but Bernard Tomic, anyway, that's another story for another. Have you got done tennis?
Yeah. It was a really boring one, but I actually really like tennis.
Tennis is fun.
Tennis is, it's a fun game to play.
Have a hit and a giggle.
Yeah.
Cricket is a lot like tennis.
It is.
Playing back. Can I talk about playing tennis? Not tennis, sorry, playing cricket.
You can talk about playing cricket. I'm launching a coup and I'm now hosting this.
I obviously meant cricket.
Then please go ahead on my show.
Sam, you're the host. You should say, hey guys, I want to talk about cricket.
Shut up, Bass.
Can I please talk about cricket, guess? No. Alright?
Sam, please continue.
Do your thing.
Lawrence, fuck off. That's what I have to say.
Or you Bass skip told to me, like 5
Bass
minutes
told
later.
Me too, though, Lawrence. It's fine.
What? Sam.
What's happened
Sam,
here?
Can you please just now talk about playing cricket?
Yes. I never played it professionally.
No.
No,
I can imagine. Anyway. Never have I.
Was that it?
But backyard cricket is something that I just love.
Yes.
In every respect. Backyard cricket, beach cricket, they all go hand in hand. You know, do you remember those yellow plastic ones? Mm-hmm. You know, you hit it too hard and it shatters into a million pieces.
Wonderful.
So good. That was fucking so
I want to play backyard cricket at my wedding, I think.
That's
in
its purest form, I think. I think backyard cricket is cricket at its purest.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. You know, the whole, you know, one hand off a single bounce.
Yeah, one hand, one bounce. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
That's,
if you don't play that, get out
the,
of here.
A six and you're out, you know?
That depends on the...
Usually it's like when it hits the roof and it's like stuck up in the gutter. So
like,
you have to get
the little
kid to like on your shoulders.
I am a fan, even though I hate doing it when it happens to me. I'm a fan of you clear the fence, you get the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just not the official name of the rule, but just it's just common.
Yeah,
you smacked it over there, man. Go.
Yeah,
we didn't have
it.
A big backyard, but we had sort of a big front yard, and it was.
I don't know why I
found
that funny.
Okay. Well, like I didn't grow up in the city. I sort of grew up in like a rural, regional sort of ish town. It wasn't super rural. So we had like a road. Anyway, every time you'd hit it
as
over
opposed
on the
to rural
side,
towns which have no roads.
Hey,
it's
like lawless. a dirt fucking path. Anyway, so like you'd hit the ball over and it would go over the road. If it went over on the full, then you're out and you have to like go down this massive hill where all these trees and shrubbery are. And if it hasn't been like mowed by the council or whatever, you're fucked.
It's
like,
gone, yeah.
And you're just like, and you know, if you're me, you're walking down there because your older brother told you to, and he's like, watch out for snakes when you're halfway down.
Been there. Mm. And then,
as the older brother.
My parents there used to be a big paddock. It's now a house, but it used to be just this paddock out of the back of my parents' place. And someone had hit the ball, and no one would be able to spot it. And it was the same thing with snakes. But then eventually we'd have to climb onto the deck or the roof or something and just like peer into the paddock. Just about,
oh, mate.
Any tennis ball fuzz will do. And there's lots of dead grass. Is that no?
You're picking up on the kidney, yeah. Like, no.
You out of here.
Back into the water with you.
But the problem with that
it's
is.
Not where a kidney's.
Oh, well, we all make mistakes.
After you bowl it, it's LB. You're like, shit, my leg.
It's actually attached to my shin somehow.
Because, like, please stop.
I love it.
See, the problem is at the end of the day, because you always go past sundown. Like, it's always, like, past dusk,
yeah.
And you can't really see. Then someone hits it over, and you're like, well, fuck. We can't see it in daylight, let alone this light, you know.
Which is where backyard cricket ties into the very highest form of the game, because bad light will stop play.
Yeah.
Which at the umpire's discretion.
That's you know, very true. Yeah. Or when mum goes, dinner's ready. I love you, mum.
Yeah. So you guys play cricket? Do you guys play throughout
I suck at cricket. I can't bowl. I can't bat.
But you can field.
But I can field. If you need a man to fill a hole somewhere.
Fielding, for the most part. Like, you'd tell the shit kid just to go over that way.
You would. And that would be me.
Hey, Lawrence, can you go fine leg? Yeah, we need fine leg. You're really good at it.
Yeah.
God. And slips in backyard cricket, they're unnecessary.
Nah. Because you just call them.
Exactly. Imagine having a slip. Make no sense.
But you just call them. If someone, like, nicks it, you call it. Nah, you've been caught.
Yeah, sorry, brother.
I was going to say, you have to run rules. That was my favourite. Tippity, that's
so,
very
good.
Tippity, yeah.
Back in the under-12s, I was in a very good team. And it wasn't me. It was this other guy. He got like 70 runs once. It was great to see.
once.
But yeah, good anyway, it was really good. And every time, like in the, like, we used to play, I think it was like 30 overs. And in the 29th over, there was probably like two or three guys left. And we all, in the last ball, would pack the slips. So there would be like eight people next to the wicketkeeper,
just begging
between like first slip and gully, would fit eight people in there.
Fantastic. It could probably like meet a gym away. I don't even have to really move my elbow to hit him.
It's just a wall of men.
Just a wall, and then like that hit onto the leg side, which is far away from
that's
us.
That's the beauty of cricket, though. Well, that's the beauty of cricket. In terms of fielding positions, there's no like set place you have to put people.
No.
You can put people literally friggin' anywhere. You can just have a wall of fielders behind the batsman ready to catch the ball.
I used to love having to have a helmet on and being real close to the batsman.
Yeah.
And this one guy who was like, yeah, I bowl spin or whatever. So I'm like, yeah, I'll go in case like they just edge a small one. So I can dive in and get it. And he bowled the ball halfway down the pitch. So it would sit up perfectly for the batsman. Yeah. And like fucking pies, man. Which means it's so easy for the batsman to hit.
Yep.
Pies are just shit.
And to pop it up for you.
And he just smashed it into my ribs. The one day that my dad came to watch when I was at my new school, and he's just like, oh, what's he fucking doing? Yeah. Like, oh, what's he doing out there?
Silly mid-off. That's where you'll be sitting.
And because I was one of the...
It'd be silly if you sit there.
Because I had to fucking fit in. I was just like, no, I'm right. Keep bowling those ones, mates. I'll catch
it's a bit
one
of a
day.
Baptism of fire, I think. You know, they put the pads on the young kid and... chuck him at silly mid off.
There's been a few dislodged spines in the history of cricket.
I once got a bat in the eyebrow. Oh. I was lucky that it was one of the plastic ones. Still.
Uneven fields are bad because, like, they'll hit it and it's like bouncing softly, sort of bouncing around. And you kneel down to get it, you put your leg back so it hits your leg if you miss, and it just bounces up, hits you in the face.
That's ridiculous. Yeah.
It's outrageous. Happens so often.
I remember playing school cricket. Just like in PE, not for the school, but we picked partners and I happened to be sitting next to a bloke who played club cricket. And I was like, mate, shall we? And he was like, yeah, all right. And as we walked onto the, with our two little, I think we might have been playing with wood by that stage because it was high school.
Yeah.
We were,
you've upgraded.
We were 16 years old.
So you
were lucky.
Playing with
it was
wood
a public
school.
School, so what?
You started playing with wood in high school?
Certainly did.
All right, there you go.
And he said, I'd never forget this, he just said, shotgun hitting sixes. and then I looked at him, and he looked at me, and then a couple of seconds after that, he went, shotgun rule does not apply. Still hit sixes, though. It doesn't have much to do with cricket, but
that's pretty good.
You know what? That's one of my best memories in cricket, when Cameron White was mic'd up. I think he was playing for Australia. I forget who against, might have been South Africa.
One of the other
eight teams who play cricket against Australia. And he's like...
Cam White, proud Victorian, by the way.
Cam White, one of my favourite players. And he's not great, but he's alright.
Nah, he's a big hitter, though.
He's a big hitter. And he's playing for Australia, and his name was Bear on his back.
Yeah.
Nicknamed Bear. And they're like, yeah, Cam, what do you think you're going to do for this one? He's like, oh, you know what? Might hit on the leg side for six. I'm like, all right, mate, bowls the ball, hits it, six.
Wow.
I'm just like, mate, cricket's rigged.
What if they're always going easy on each other, and then for that ball, he decides, you know what, I'll just go for it.
Second,
that's probably not what happened.
No,
but
I'm sure it wasn't.
But
you know what? Second favourite memory is Steve Harmison, first ball of the
2005. Oh, wow.
Bowls it. Second slip catches it. And I'm just like, you are the best English player I've ever seen.
And there was so much build up, and they were like, oh, grievous bottle.
That was an omen, too. That was an omen for England in that entire series.
Oh, mate.
Because they were
Justin Langer, Matthew Hayden.
And they had the whole clap going into the delivery, like, the first ball of the Ashes. Here we go, ladies. And it was an absolute fucking pop.
My brother and I went halves in the whitewash, which is the Ashes series of that year, the DVD highlights.
Oh yeah,
yeah, I bought that. Good.
And
good watching.
We've replayed that so many times.
The Adelaide test
ball
is fantastic. In maybe it's 06, 07 when we won 5-0.
No, I think was that no because 05 we lost, but then 05, 06.
Yeah,
we won.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, there's some massive run chase with Michael Clarke and Michael Hussey. Fantastic.
Mike Hussey, favourite player. Mr. Cricket.
Mr. Cricket. The Gus.
Ricky Ponting, another favourite player of mine. Like,
he's one of the best batsmen of all time, really. Ricky Ponting.
Yeah,
easily.
Definitely up there.
Up there with Sachin Tendulkar.
Oh, I agree.
Don Bradman and Brian Lara.
Yeah, for sure.
Champions.
Can't argue with any of those names.
We're just reeling off Wikipedia stats now.
On that note, I reckon we can probably...
Oh, we're done.
We just hit an hour.
Oh, there we go.
Wow, I really need to go to the toilet.
I think
we have stacked these LD beers up.
I think the toilet is a table consensus.
Look at all these.
Honestly, another 5 minutes and I will go on the table.
Look at all these rivet lagers we've just accumulated on the table.
Rivet lager.
And we're going to leave them here for
Nick. I'm just going to say thank you to Lawrence and Jim for joining us on today's podcast.
Been a pleasure. Back with the benches.
Please leave a review if you think Lawrence redeemed himself. I thought he did, but you know. Everyone can tell us their opinion, even if it's offensive and rude.
Well, Sam's going to be the first one to give an opinion. It's going to be negative.
Obviously. Please, I'm hosting the episode.
Please send abuse to the Video Shop at, what's their Twitter?
Video Shop Pod on Twitter.
Video Shop Pod, that's an awesome name. You can find us on the other episodes if you listen. but yeah, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, I have a Twitter, but I can't remember it. So.
Just fucking shout Jim into the wind. Yeah,
you'll
get it.
You will find me.
Just go to Punt Road Oval, and Jim will be there.
I'll be there. I'll be raiding the dumpsters for any sort of memorabilia or anything a Dusty might have touched.
A crushed up Richmond Draft can.
That's it.
Oh, mate. And if you have any leads on Richmond Draft cans,
I called up Nirav at Dan Murphy's queue earlier. It's not looking good, but that's another story for another time.
Oh, right. No. All right. Thanks for having us. Sports are really, really good to talk about.
Or something.